Blinding Innocence, Episode 10, Season Finale. The red carpet was laid out. Flashes from cameras pulsed outside like strobe lights. I cannot believe he went to all this length, Julia said to Annika and Cynthia. You know the boutique spent nothing on the extras. It was even Jefferson's idea to charge admission. The three of them held champagne that looked like gold glitter in fluted glasses. Cynthia threw back the rest of hers while Annika was looking around as if she was looking for someone. The night after she presented her Stiffenex campaign to the company, which loved it, she and Julia caught up on all the details of their lives while Julia was in the hospital. I'm sorry to bring this to you, Annika had said, but you're family to me, you know that, and that house, it was all he left me. And I'm working and successful and can afford an apartment here if I wanted, but right before Pupe died, she trailed off. I know I was frustrated when you two were first together, but what I don't understand is how much of a secret he kept my mother's things. I don't even have them in my possession yet. I should have received it all so long ago, Julia said. They spoke both of the empty house, how Julia's mother's items were still stashed away somewhere inside it, and then they spoke candidly about the mugging. I was shocked, Annika said. I'm just so glad you woke up. The doctors were sure you weren't going to be stuck in a vegetated state, but it was just a matter of time, she said. I mean, who would want to hurt you? Julia and Annika looked at each other, unable to speak about what was truly on their mind. As the opening of Jefferson's latest exhibit continued to draw a crowd, rich people all dressed in blacks and whites, they crowded inside the small space. Jonathan pushed through the crowd and found Annika and Julia together. It looks like old times, he said. The two of you won't be able to be separated, will you? I never thought my stepmother and I would get along so well, Julia exclaimed. The three of them laughed. Cynthia came trotting back with two flutes of champagne and handed one to Jonathan. How many is that? Asked Annika. I'd like to be somewhat inebriated when you shock me with your taser, Cynthia said in disgust. Uncalled for, Annika said. Bad week. Give me some credit. I don't know how you could be on Jefferson's side anyway. He's so wishy-washy. He comes and goes. He's nice and filthy. I don't know if I can trust his moodiness. But a taser? Cynthia asked. Oh, he got me back. When I slipped in the apartment and went unconscious for a few minutes, he woke me up with the damn thing, Annika said. He never said anything about that, Cynthia said. Not that you're less of a loon for it, but, well... She didn't finish her thought and swallowed a mouthful of her champagne. A tall man with gray speckling his hair approached the small group. Can you believe the turnout? Due to the fire code, we had to turn people away, he said. Julia, I must thank you. I don't know what wonders you worked or who you contacted, but look at this. Jefferson, anything for your art. But it was your idea for admission, Julia said. I hope that someone is interested enough to buy your little show. Julia, don't worry. It is only a one-night engagement, he said. That you didn't tell me, Julia said. I'm going to go and shut the doors, and Jefferson, you can begin your presentation, speech, or whatever you want to do to open up. Julia walked away. Jefferson walked up to the front of the boutique, leaving Cynthia and Jonathan and Annika alone together. Jonathan thought he smelled a fart. He looked at Cynthia, but Cynthia looked at Annika. What? Annika said. If I could have everyone's attention, please, Jefferson said, speaking through the microphone. As an artist that works with mixed media, I have decided to challenge myself to create the most realistic piece of art ever. Black drapes hung around the 12 flat screen TVs and were pulled away, showing nothing but blue screens. Julia walked back up to Jonathan, Annika, and Cynthia. She stopped. Did someone fart? The three of them remained silent. The champagne isn't that cheap, Julia said. God, Cynthia. What? We've been around you when you drink. You don't fool us, Julia said. Jonathan looked up to see who else was at the boutique and saw Michael standing by the entrance. Michael came, he said. Go stand next to him if you're going to smell, Julia said. I refuse to stand anywhere near Michael, Cynthia said. The lights went out and lasers shot onto the ceiling, showing off a nice design. As the show began, Annika looked toward the door and thought she saw someone sneak into the show. The shadow looked familiar. She tapped Julia, but Julia was too transfixed by the laser show. The lasers provided enough light, and Annika thought she saw the person's face. Now the real art begins, Jefferson said. And music started, heavy in the chest with its bass, and the TVs turned on. On each screen was a person doing normal everyday things, from sitting on the couch with a gun to showering. Cynthia looked up. All the faces were blurred out, but she knew the color of her own shower tile. What the hell? What is it? Jonathan said. That's me. Look at all the TV, she said.
Annika, Julia, and Jonathan started looking around, and although the faces were all blurred out, each of them recognized each of the scenes happening. "This is the art of everyday life," Jefferson concluded. Applause filled the air. "The bastard," Cynthia said. "He's been videotaping us." The other three agreed. The art on the TV was each of them. Cynthia showering, Annika holding a gun, Jonathan sleeping in Julia's bed, Julia sleeping in the hospital. Annika wanted to be shocked, but she was too curious to get a better glimpse of the figure that stood at the front of the store. She pushed the crowd and called after the figure. "Pupe? Pupe, is that you?"
To be continued.